Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Semi-Organized Chaos.
We're back.
I'm Keisha Pettit.
I'm Simon Baggs.
This is our second ever episode. Bear with us. On this podcast, we talk about pop culture, relationships, and the world's weirdest news.
Coming up today, we are going to write Keisha's dating app bio. Also, I went to a therapist, or I've been going to a therapist. Going to dive into that, get a little bit serious on today's show. As well as the weirdest way to get pregnant, and guess who is involved? The Kardashians. All that and a whole heap more coming up on today's podcast.
Let's get into the chaos. As you know, I am recently completely single.
Completely.
Completely.
Different
stages. Yeah. Like there's seeing someone, right. There's dating, there's like, you know, completely single, there's completely in a proper relationship.
You see, I don't have that.
Because you're married.
No, I know that. But like when I was in my dating days, it was either on or off.
Anyway, oof. I'm back to being very single.
Yeah.
And
Do you need to talk to me about something here?
Like, I do need a bit of advice, but I have re-downloaded a dating app, which it's a weird feeling when you kind of, you know, you got to set up the profile and answer all the questions and put the pictures up. And for me, weird situation because I have quite like a sarcastic, dark sense of humor. And I don't know whether putting my actual personality on a dating app would do me any wonders, you know?
I think you could, you know, you can only try.
You can only try, which is exactly what I've been doing for the past couple of days. And I think I might need your help, like, mixing it up a little.
Okay.
Because I look like a basic bitch, and a lot of what I do in my life would be classified in that category. But
so why don't you just say that?
Because
I am.
Because I don't want to be like every other girl on the app. Because here's the problem, they're probably hotter.
No, but like, be real as well. Like, guys love, like, when you're real and just straight up, right? So why don't you do like the Bunnings warehouse type scenario, right? Where you go, you know how like they'll beat every deal by 10%. You just say, look, I'm like every other bitch, right?
This is wildly good advice. No,
right? Like, sorry, by the way, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to say bitch. I meant to say basic bitch and I just forgot the word basic. So I'm like every other basic bitch. I'll just beat them by 10%.
I'll beat them by 10%.
Because that just blows.
That's fucking genius.
Well, because it blows everyone out of the water. Like, think about it. Every time you go to a mite of 10, and in your mind, you know that Bunnings will beat it by 10%.
This is why I came
to
you.
If I'm swiping past and going, hang on, this chick is saying she's like every other girl I've dated, but 10% better.
By saying you're going to beat it by 10%, does that mean you're 10% better, or is it 10% worse? Less.
No, well, you are cheaper.
Yeah, cheaper. So, yeah. Maybe that's what I should say. But I'll be cheaper by 10%. Maybe that can be my selling point. All right, I'm going to take this advice on. But I've also realized through swiping, which, by the way, not even mildly, this is pretty horrifically embarrassing. On your first date, so I got Hinge. I can only do one at once. I can't do more than one. Too many things going on in my brain.
One app.
One app. Oh. I ran out of likes.
You ran out of likes. You know what that paints the picture really clearly.
On my first date.
I'm picturing Saturday night, you furiously flicking through everyone, giving them all likes, and then you run out and you're like, ugh.
I swear to God I'd only liked like four people's profiles.
Okay.
And when it came up with no more likes today, you have to pay to get more, I was like,
this is where they get you.
And you know what? I also think the algorithm, they've got it figured out. The people they presented me with on my first day on Hinge were the hottest specimens of men that I've ever seen. I contemplated paying for it. I was like, these dudes are like an elite.
Right, and then you pay and you get all the pogs from like, you know, Blacktown.
I think I'm onto them. Hang on, I'm just going to upload it now. Going to beat everything by 10%.
No, hang on. Why don't I have a crack? Let's go through the guys. Give me the app.
Oh, shit.
There
we go.
And then I get to choose the guys that you're going to... Oh, Nick.
You can't name them.
Mate, you didn't even reply to Michael. Michael's just hanging there waiting for a message return. Edward, David.
You can't name these people. I'm going to have to block it all out.
Harry.
Okay, you can stop scrolling.
These are basic names, aren't they? Okay.
Yeah, stop scrolling. No, pass me my phone. I don't want you to reply to them.
I'm not going to reply.
Going over my conversation. I'll be really embarrassed.
This is a trust game.
I've already got my tail between my legs. I don't trust you on my dating.
Why would you not trust me?
Because I don't want you reading what I've written. Those beady eyes. Look at them. Not
beady eyes. I'm going to go to your profile. I'm going to go to the part. Oh, great. This is what I want. I want to go to the part where
he's cute.
So should I select him? This is what I want. I want to be able to go through and...
No, I'm okay at this part. I know. I'm okay at looking at them.
You just don't want me to see how fucked up you are and what you write to
No,
blokes.
I
get it, mate.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, here we go. How do I tell him? Who's this? Felipe.
That's a good picture with a dog.
Lots of dogs.
Oh my God, there's so many pictures with fish. You know what I had?
I had... When I was dating, this is like 7 years ago, photo of me at Dreamworld, right, with the tigers. That's what I thought was hot. Now, okay, ready?
Yeah, no.
Shut up.
That's a red flag now. That's a serious red flag. That's like an immediate lift. A photo with tigers.
Yeah, but back in those days.
Was it okay then?
No one was saying that was. But what I kept very quiet once everyone started ripping on those guys, I was like, I never did that.
No, never. Did you ever have a picture with a fish? Because that's really common.
No, I've never had a
big picture with a fish.
Oh, like as in a quarter fish?
Yeah.
No.
Lots of those.
No, just a chained up tiger. So do I send him a like?
Yeah, but you're meant to write something, I think.
Hot.
No, don't write. Don't! Oh, my God, Simon.
Yeah.
Do you see that stuff about Kourtney Kardashian and... Travis Barker?
No, what happened?
I mean, for starters, they've gotten married like 3 or 4 times in the last month or so.
Yeah.
Getting a bit, you know, bit thirsty for the media attention. But this one actually did have me. On the latest episode of their TV show, Kourtney was instructed, her and Travis have been trying to get pregnant and they've been documenting the story of like, you know, all the problems they're going through with infertility and whatnot, which is actually like quite heartbreaking. And I'm not making a joke about that. Mm. What I am making a joke about, and I'm very happy to pull the pieces, is the fact that one of her, let's put this in air bunnies, doctors has recommended that she drinks Travis's semen 4 times a week. He's told her it will help her improve her thyroid levels, which I would just like to make very clear to all of our 10 listeners, not medically supported, no scientific reviews on whether that's actually the case, but a doctor has told her to be drinking her semen 4 times a week.
I'm just trying to picture, like, you know, when you're sitting at the doctor's surgery and there's the doctor there who's giving advice, hey, mate, you need to take this or take that or blah, blah, blah. Like,
could lose a couple kilos, bring your blood pressure.
Okay, mate, let's not get personal here. Jesus Christ. But anyway, look, I think that's such a creepy scenario because you're like, first of all, you're in a room, right, on your own, and he's like, you know what I think you should do? He says it in this tone as well, right? You know what I think you should do? You should give a few BJs. They were like,
I actually just nearly vomited in my mouth at the thought.
You know what I mean?
4 times a week.
But do you feel like that doctor is just a bit fucked up and just wants to say some fucked up shit to her because he's like, oh, well, I just want a picture. I don't like. What?
I mean, look, their relationship.
It can't be. It's. I'm not a doctor. I just wanted to throw it out there.
Aren't you?
But. You can't get pregnant that way. Full stop, right? So like, what the
Simon's like, I did that class in sex ed.
Mate, I know this. Grade 5, right? So here's the thing.
Grade 5? Where the fuck did you grow up?
Rabina High, mate. We're learning early because I had to.
Yeah, everyone, lots of like young parents on the Gold Coast,
mate. Everyone getting loose. Anyway, yeah, so what a fucking creep of a doctor.
Yeah, look, I can't imagine them sitting down in a normal doctor's office and being like, oh, hey, you know, you're calling the patient's name. Like, they're two of the biggest celebrities in the world.
He's pulling the curtain.
The thing that you got to do is you just got to be drinking semen 4 times a week. Well, it pisses me off because Courtney used to be the one that was like, she was always a bit quirky, but she was pretty normal in comparison to the rest of the family. And now since she's been on this relationship with Travis, she's just turned into it. Like, she's just getting a bit fucking bonkers. She's getting a bit weird.
I'm just trying to think of another scenario that could have played out here, right? Did Travis go to the doctor's surgery a week before and go, hey, bro?
Oh, yeah, I'll slip you a 50. I'll slip you a 50. This is all you got to do.
So.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why UnitedHealthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
I'm doing therapy at the moment for probably the last. I know you want to laugh.
I don't want to laugh at all.
I can see you want to laugh.
You're
smiling.
I'm genuinely so happy to hear this.
Oh, it sounds like you know that I needed to have it.
You know what? I actually genuinely think that the tides have turned even on the word therapy. And like, not to get too deep or anything like that, but a long time ago, you used to, like, if it was, oh, you got to go to therapy, like, you're a bit crazy up there. Mm. It was one of the best things I ever did.
Mm.
I now have a bit of a joke that, like, we don't date boys that haven't been to therapy. It's like, we've all got shit to unpack.
Yeah. And I didn't realise, like, how much shit I had to unpack as well, right? Like, you go to a therapist, and I've been going for, like, probably the last 10 weeks now, just every Wednesday or Thursday night.
Was there a reason that you thought, like, oh, I probably need to go and do
this? Yeah. I started a new job, and I was suffering from imposter syndrome, where I was like, fuck. What am I doing here? I'm not even supposed to be in this job. Like, what is this kind of thing, right?
And for anyone who doesn't know what imposter syndrome is, it's kind of like a bit of a weird phenomenon where you are maybe in a position of your life or a job that you hold, and you're kind of there and you wonder, like, when someone's going to come and knock on the door and go, mate,
you're terrible.
you're not meant to be here.
Yeah.
Like, you're not meant to be here. You're not good enough.
Can you give us your pass back? Get the fuck out of our office kind of thing. Yeah, and that was some of the stuff that was rolling around in my mind because I left an industry after 22 years and went into a new industry. And so that's where it was coming from. So it triggered off, hey, I probably should just get some things in place just to work out what's really going on. And, of course, we start out with, hey, this is what I'm feeling. And then we end up with, how was your childhood? And I'm like,
always.
Why?
It's always why? Childhood.
Yeah.
It's all, and like even if I say that you have a relatively like healthy family dynamic, don't
no,
you?
No, not at all. And no, yeah. G'day, mum, if you're listening. But the
thanks no, for fucking me up.
No, my mum is fantastic. But yeah, I was going fairly well through the whole series of chats, but the last one was the chat where I had to stop talking. And my therapist didn't help because I was starting to cry, but I didn't want to. Yeah, and then, I guess that would have happened. And then I was like this. And I'm thinking, fucking say something.
Like, you need to, like, do the little breast.
Don't cry, don't and she cry, wouldn't say anything. And I'm thinking, fucking talk. And so I'm sitting there just in silence going.
And she knows.
She knows.
She knows.
She's leaving me there on my own, right?
If I'm like, leave this gap.
Yeah.
We're about to have a breakdown.
Right.
But breakdown can mean breakthrough.
And it was. It was a real breakthrough. But just that she just left me there just to be in it. And I was like, fucking Jesus Christ.
Left you out to dry.
Yeah. And I'm like, look, basically, it was just a scenario when I was raised, which I have I've got a lot of guilt. Because okay. I didn't step in and do anything, you know?
Yeah.
And so
I think, like, getting deep, I think that when you become an adult and there are these couple of pivotal moments, where, especially when you are going through therapy, I think that that's when you really start to unpack it and understand it.
Yeah.
When you realize that not only were your parents, like, they were just doing the best that they could
totally.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
I think when you realize, oh, when you're a kid, you think everything your parents do, they are the most perfect person in the world. Right.
I had matching tracksuits with my dad.
We had handmade dresses.
But by your mum? Yes. Like how cool?
Do you know, like
just, how nice is it to think of now, right? You're like, fuck, that's cool.
Totally.
Right?
But when you become like at a certain point of your adulthood, you realize that they're actually deeply flawed humans.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff that they left you with really has impacted you for the rest of your life.
Yes. One of the areas that we spoke about was my mum at 40, she went deaf. And so it was a real pain in our family because, you know, my mum was really frustrated. We didn't have a lot of money at the time, so we couldn't really, you know, pay for hearing aids and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But my defense mechanism, and this is one of the things that the therapist has spoken to me about a bit, but was always to turn things into funny, to make to lighten everything up in the house because it was quite a hard, you know, 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so when I was explaining to the therapist about this area, I said, you know, she said, oh, so what was it like in the house? And I said, oh, well, look, this is how I explained it. I said, well, look, you know, my brother and I would be sitting there at the, you know, the kitchen table or, you know, maybe on the lounge and you know, we might say to mum, hey, mum, could you pass us the tomato sauce? And she'd say, what did you say? As if we'd said something really bad and all we'd said was, hey, like, mum, can you pass the tomato sauce? But because she couldn't hear, she was just always so worried that we were always saying something bad about her. So it was just this.
Like, it was like an anxiety in her mind.
And an eggshells kind of situation that we were in. But I saw the funny in that. The fact that, like, we're just two kids like, hey, mum, like, we love you. And she was like, what the fuck's wrong with you guys? it was just this, like,
humor became a total defense mechanism. Right?
Yeah, and I just, that's how I dealt with it all, by making light of that situation.
See, I think that there's actually something beautiful about that, though, because, like, isn't that saying if you don't laugh, you'll cry?
I guess the problem and the thing that got me, though, in the therapy was we were in a two-story house. And the result over the time, because this period went on for maybe 4 years, maybe a bit longer. So I would have been maybe 13, 14. My brother would have been 11. My dad put a TV downstairs that had teletext on it, like that she could read. And then the TV upstairs was like this other TV that we had in the house. And so my brother, my dad and I would sit upstairs and watch TV. and my mum would sit alone downstairs watching TV. And just that image for me, I went right back to being in that house. Mm. And that's the guilt. Yeah. I don't want to explain too much more than that, but that probably explains that scenario of how that would have played out in our family that I feel very, very shit about.
I'm really proud of you for, like, speaking about these kind of things quite openly. I think there is definitely a stigma associated, particularly with men, with, like, going to therapy. It's viewed as something a little bit, like, not as masculine or something like that, which I really think that we need to change.
Yeah, and you need a therapist that you get.
Totally.
And they get you.
Totally.
You know?
Very important. But yeah. It's so crazy that, like, you went to your therapist initially because you were like, oh, I think I'm sensing, like, a little bit of imposter syndrome. Yeah. Which, by the way, I actually I work on another podcast. It's called Not an Overnight Success. And basically the whole premise of it is that we talk to super successful people about their personal lives. Mm-hmm. We always start with the childhood.
Mm.
I don't think there is one person that we have spoken to on that pod that has not said, I have so much imposter syndrome. Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
One of the biggest movie stars but in the some, world.
And you hear
was
this.
Was like, yeah. I'm on stage of a massive award show, some of the biggest in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm standing there going, what the fuck am I doing here hosting this?
But, you know, I mean, that's a, yeah, you realize that everyone has it, right? But, I mean, you say Hugh Jackman's scenario there, you kind of get it, right? But I had it when I sat down in my new job, opened my laptop and went, what the fuck do I even do?
But this is what I mean. I think that, like, every person has a level of it. And I don't know whether it's just because we've been told to keep ourselves humble.
The Oscars. He's just turning his laptop on.
On this podcast, we talk about pop culture, relationships, and the world's weirdest news. And today, you've got some news stories for me, and it's my job to unpack whether they're true or not.
Yes. Okay. See how you go with these. First headline for you today, Keisha Pettit. Catholic exorcist complained too many possessed people to handle.
Oh, too many people.
I mean, after COVID.
After the hot girl summer. I reckon that's true.
A Vatican-approved religious university in Rome held an exorcism course with 120 participants.
They had 120 people turn up for an exorcism course?
Yeah, I know. A survey from a Vatican-approved religious university in Rome found that Catholic exorcists feel overworked and undersupported by bishops, according to the Times of London. Imagine the HR department. You know, like, just the line outside HR.
Do you know what I'm actually going to say about Catholic priests and in the Vatican?
Whoa.
Not their biggest HR problem.
Right, yes.
Not their biggest one.
Totally.
I mean, being burnt out from exorcists, probably lower down the list.
News story number two. Someone stole Seth Green's bored ape, which was supposed to star in his new show.
Who is Seth Green?
You know, the guy out of Austin Powers?
Oh, no.
Dr. Evil's son?
No, sorry. I haven't seen any of the
Austin Powers?
No. And we've spoken about this. I haven't seen any movies, so I, like, miss a lot of the references.
Well, the actor has been pleading on Twitter with DarkWing84, who bought his ape from a scammer, to return it.
Wait, sorry. Someone stole his ape.
I mean.
And then there's been an online black market bargain,
mate,
for the animal.
Actor and producer Seth Green was robbed of several NFTs.
Oh, so it's not even a real ape. I don't get the things with NFTs. I mean, like, I understand.
Digital, mate, digital.
I understand it's cool to own something that no one else owns.
Mm.
But I don't get how screenshotting it is different.
You want the original, mate.
But, like, is it an original if it's sent to you as a file? How is that any different to screenshotting something and sending it to someone?
Mate, you are talking to a guy that has no idea. But
I just don't. Here's the thing.
Do you want me to send you a photo of me in front of the Mona Lisa, or do you want me to rob the Louvre? And
it's not the same. Do you know what I actually think NFTs are really good for? Funneling drug money.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I mean, art has been used, and whether people recognize this or not, I'm sure that the authorities are actually onto it. It's been used to funnel money around, right? Because how do you put a price on what someone is willing to pay for a piece of art?
Totally.
Now they've just found a way to make it into a digital platform, and it's an NFT. I saw a thing last week about Bella Hadid.
Yeah.
She wanted to sell like 11,000 or something like that, NFTs of her own body.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, babe, but you're a supermodel. So those photos already exist literally everywhere.
Not the originals though, mate. That's what everyone wants.
But like,
and they want to put it in their fake digital warehouse.
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Got a digital world.
Okay, look, if you're coming to this podcast for NFT chat, this is not the place for you. We've got no fucking idea what we're talking about.
I got no clue, but I do find it's pretty interesting.
It is interesting. There's a lot of people getting rich and good on them. All right, new story number three for you, Keisha Pettit. Jimi Hendrix, do you know him?
Musician, yeah.
Yep.
Is he a guitarist?
Yeah. Jimi Hendrix, penis cast to be displayed in Iceland's penis museum.
Oh, I mean, it's of all the things that they would choose to make of someone who was a famous musician, is there a reason that, like, was he known for his penis? Was that, like, a thing that people focused on? I'm sure.
I'm sure a lot of people were focused on his penis.
I mean, it sounds a bit outlandish, but maybe it's true.
It is true. A cast of Jimi Hendrix member made by the late Cynthia Plastercaster Abratron is to be unveiled at the Iceland Phallological Museum. Phallological, that sounds dirty. It just imagine a museum just full of penises.
I don't know if we need that. I don't like.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. That would be exactly what it was. I don't know. I mean, sure. A lot of Rome built off of statues
of like giant guys with tiny penises. Like, what is that? But always big blokes.
Who's the person going and being like, no, it wasn't actually like that. It actually bent to the left a little more. Like, yeah, and slightly also, like, more on the end.
Yeah, if someone was doing that of me, like, I'll be straight up, like,
tiny penis.
fucking so microscopic, right? But the thing is, right, if someone was painting me or doing me nude, right, I'd be like, guys, put a bit of mayo on the old dirt. Yeah.
You know, like, you'd slip him a little bit of pocket change.
Please go, you know what? You've made me look like it's really cold outside. Whack it up for everyone to see. Like, who the fuck said yes to that? You got approval, don't you?
I don't know why they would make it of someone who had died in the 70s. Yeah. Like, who is around that would be able to fact check the version that they're putting into the museum now?
Yeah.
Surely memory's not that good. I mean, he died, 50 years ago? 50-something years ago?
If you were a fan, though, and like a massive fan, would you try, like, if you were in Iceland, would you go, oh, fuck, you know what we've got to do today?
It's on the itinerary of the trip list. Have breakfast here, see Northern Lights, see penis of Jimi Hendrix. Tick, tick, tick. Do you reckon you get a picture? Put it up on Instagram in a carousel. Here's our experiences in Iceland. Enjoy it, Grandma. Hope you love it.
Well, there you go. That is the world's weirdest news. That is it for today's podcast.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Yeah. This is only our second episode. Yes. And obviously, we've probably got about six of our friends listening to this.
No, in the dashboard or whatever they call it, right, where you get all the data where people are listening. Are we supposed to reveal this stuff? I don't know. But there's someone listening in like a real random country over in Europe.
Where?
Whoever you are. Oh, thank you.
Thank you. You're our number one listener. Appreciate that.
I think it's Bosnia.
Bosnia.
I think it's Bosnia. Can you imagine the poor person that came across our shitty little podcast and just went, oh, what's this? Oh, God.
They probably feel sorry for us.
Oh, look at these little Aussies having a crack.
Having a go. But look, in all seriousness, we are grateful for you joining and listening this way. If you've gotten to this point, slow clap for you. Very grateful. If you have enjoyed the podcast, if you could please share it with a friend. We are brand spanking new. We're an independent podcast. We're just kind of, you know, shooting the shit, making it happen. And we would be ever so grateful if you could give us a review on Apple Podcast or a star rating on Spotify and share it with a friend.
We'll see you next week.
See you, legends.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.